In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. My Lord and my God, I firmly believe that you are here, that you see me, that you hear me. I adore you with profound reverence. I ask pardon for my sins, and the grace to make this time of prayer fruitful. My Immaculate Mother, Saint Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me. Lord, we always begin our prayer asking pardon for our sins and grace to make this time of prayer fruitful. That is something we do always, asking your pardon because we sin often and we want to live in your presence and please you. We ask your pardon. And in Lent especially, when one of the prayers that the priest can say and putting the ashes on people's heads is repent and believe in the gospel. Repent. Lent, a time of conversion, of repentance, of growing in your love, of pleasing you. And this time of prayer that we want to make fruitful is Lent too. Not only this time of prayer that we are now spending with you, listening to you, talking with you, but this time of Lent, these 40 days that the Church gives us every year in preparation for Easter, in preparation really for the feast of our redemption through your death on the cross and your resurrection 2 days later. And why 40 days? Of course, because you spent 40 days in prayer and fasting in the desert before beginning your public life. We can open the Gospel of St. Matthew to the 4th chapter. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And he fasted 40 days and 40 nights. And afterward, he was hungry. And Lord, last year I had the privilege of visiting the Holy Land. And we went to the Jordan River where you were baptized. And your 40 days follow immediately upon your baptism, at least according to the Gospel of St. Matthew. And that place where you were in the wilderness is totally barren. I've never seen anything like it. There's no shrubs, no trees, no grass, just gray sand. And that is where you spent those 40 days. Where you got water, we don't know, but you had to have that. But you went without food for 40 days and 40 nights to prepare for your public life. And that teaches us so much too. That if we want to exercise charity, giving ourselves to others, in spreading your love, your word in the world, which we do, as you did, you would begin 3 years of public life after 30 years of your hidden life. You were preparing for that by prayer and fasting. Lord, help us. If we want to be fruitful in spreading your word, in spreading your love, in being that more kind, generous, thoughtful person that we want to be, we will succeed more if we spend time too in prayer and self-denial. And then at the end of those 40 days, you were tempted. And the tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But he answered, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." You are hungry, Lord. And the devil, the tempter, comes, asks you to change stones into bread to satisfy your hunger. But you say, "No, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." We too are tempted in the area of our sense appetites. to eat more food than we really should, to drink more alcohol perhaps, to spend more time in entertainment, perhaps watching television, listening to the radio when we should be doing other things, the time we spend looking at our mobile phone when we don't need to, just to check the news, to check the messages, to check the sports results, whatever. And how much time we spend and how much time we should have spent doing something more useful. And Lord, help us to mortify ourselves in areas like our sense appetites now in Lent, so that we don't live by satisfying those appetites only. And then the second temptation. Then the devil took him to the holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will give his angels charge of you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone." To tempt God, throw yourself off the temple, the angels will protect you. And you answered, "Again it is written, you shall not tempt the Lord your God." And Lord, we might be tempted to tempt God too, by driving unduly fast or in a dangerous way and expect our guardian angel or you to protect us, by not preparing for that meeting that we're going to give a talk in, or preparing that report and we don't give it enough time. Perhaps we're giving a talk to some group of people and we don't prepare it. We think, "Oh, I've given this topic so many times, I'm sure I can do it without much preparation." That conversation we're going to have with a friend or someone in our family to talk with them about a deeper matter. We should prepare that beforehand. "Oh, I don't need to do that. The Holy Spirit will inspire me in the moment." We're tempting God. Lord, we can't do that either. And then the third temptation. And again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. And he said to him, "All these I will give you if you will fall down and worship me." Then Jesus said to him, "Begone, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." And Lord, sometimes we may be caught up not in worshiping the devil, we're not going to do that, but we might be worshiping this world, the desire for possessions, our work, and we spend too much time there at the expense of our family, or our rest, or our spiritual life. The desire to buy things, more clothing, more furniture, another car, a new mobile phone, things that we don't need. And since we're worshiping the world where the devil reigns, help us to worship you, to spend time with you. You are our first love. That we learn from these temptations that we are tempted as you were, Jesus, and as you overcame them, you give us the grace to overcome them too. But we will be stronger to overcome temptations which abound if we are more prayerful and if we mortify ourselves more as you did. We fall into temptation. We fall in those temptations and commit sins. And Lord, you know that. You know we are poor human beings, and that is why you gave us the sacrament of penance. But we will commit fewer sins or less grave sins if we are more mortified and we love you more through our prayer. And the more we deny ourselves those creature comforts, the stronger our will grows, the more grace we have, and the more able we will be to resist those temptations. Help us to learn from your 40 days. In the Romance languages that stem from Latin, the word for Lent is based on the number 40 for these 40 days. In Latin, it's quadragesima. In Spanish, Quaresma, and so on. In English, it's Lent. Where did we get that word? It comes from an old Anglo-Saxon word, lengthen, meaning springtime. And that undoubtedly because Lent falls in the Northern Hemisphere, spring. But we can see that spring in another way. If we live Lent well, if we are generous in our prayer life, in our penance, in our charity, then there's a new springtime in our spiritual life too. I come from the Northern Hemisphere myself, and spring is very pronounced. After the deep snow, the freezing temperatures, the temperature warms a little, the snow begins to melt, the deciduous trees begin to have little buds and later leaves, and they pass from barren branches to the green foliage. And Lord, that's what we want in our spiritual life, and we will have that. And this we should all have, no matter where we are at the beginning of Lent spiritually. And we might say, but I'm doing pretty well. I'm living my spiritual life in a very regular and loving way, but we can do better. We can always do better. And then we have that conversion. We all need a conversion. In the third mystery of light, where you preach the kingdom, we contemplate the call to conversion for all of us. Yes, starting over, trying harder, growing spiritually, then we have that true springtime in our spiritual life. We come more alive. And our prayer and our fasting lead us to charity, which is the most important. Lord, you began your public life of charity, of self-giving, pouring yourself out for the multitudes and for the individuals by your prayer and fasting in the desert. Help us to learn from you, to learn the importance of charity. We open the prophecy of Isaiah to the 58th chapter. Cry aloud, spare not, lift up your voice like a trumpet. Declare to my people their transgression, to the house of Jacob their sins. Yet they seek me daily and delight to know my ways, as if they were a nation that did righteousness and did not forsake the ordinance of their God. And Lord, we can pause there. We are that nation. We seek righteousness. We want to love you. We want to seek that holiness, which is love for you and doing your will. But we too sin. And then you go on through the prophet Isaiah. They ask of me righteous judgments. They delight to draw near to God. Why have we fasted, they say, and you see it not? Why have we humbled ourselves, and you take no knowledge of it? Behold, in the day of your fast, you seek your own pleasure. This is God now speaking to the people. In the day of your fast, you seek your own pleasure and oppress all your workers. You don't live charity. Yes, you are denying yourself, but you're not. Yes, you deny yourself, but afterwards you don't live charity. You oppress your workers. Behold, you fast only to quarrel and to fight and to hit with wicked fist. Fasting like yours this day will not make your voice to be heard on high. Is such the fast that I choose, a day for a man to humble himself? Is it to bow down his head like a rush and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Will you call this a fast and a day acceptable to the Lord? Is not this the fast that I choose, to loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the thongs of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free, and to break every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry and bring the homeless poor into your house? when you see the naked, to cover him, and not to hide yourself from your own flesh? Then shall your light break forth like the dawn, and your healing shall spring up speedily, and your righteousness shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then shall you call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry, and he will say, Here I am. And Lord, you do not want our arduous fasting if we are not charitable. You will hear us. You will answer us when we are fasting, but yes, also showing charity, and that is the most important. We read from St. Peter Chrysologus, that father of the church, there are three things, brethren, three through which faith stands firm, devotion abides, and virtue endures: prayer, fasting, and mercy. What prayer knocks for upon a door, fasting successfully begs, and mercy receives. Lord, we're asking you for so many things. If we fast, if we deny ourselves, then you hear us, and our prayer is successful, and mercy will receive, kindness, charity. Prayer, fasting, and mercy. These three are a unit. They give life to one another. For fasting is the soul of prayer, and mercy is the life of fasting. Let no one cut these three apart. They are inseparable. If a man has only one of them, or if he does not have them all simultaneously, he has nothing. And Lord, help us to listen to this. Prayer, yes, always. Pray always. Fasting, self-denial. You say, if anyone would be my disciple, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. Deny ourselves, not only in Lent, every day. And then charity, which is that first commandment of love for God and love for neighbor. They are inseparable. He who wants to be heard when he petitions should hear another who petitions him. Lord, we petition you for so many blessings, so many graces, but then let us listen to our family members and other people who are asking us for a favor too. He who does not close his own ear to a suppliant opens God's ear to himself. The fasting man should realize what fasting is. If anyone wants God to perceive that he is hungry, he should himself take notice of the hungry. If he hopes for mercy, he should show mercy himself. If he desires fatherly kindness, he should display it first. And Lord, you give us that parable of the rich man, sometimes called Dives, which is simply the Latin word for rich, with Lazarus, the beggar, at his gate. And the rich man pays no attention to that poor man who would love to eat the crumbs that fall from his table, but he doesn't give them anything. They die, the rich man goes to hell. Lazarus goes to heaven. The rich man was asking God for things, but he didn't pay heed to the poor man's pleading at his door. Well, Lord, help us to be mindful of the poor, mindful of all the needs of those around us, beginning in our family, so that you will heed us when we ask you for graces. He who wishes someone to make an offering to him should make an offering himself. He is an unworthy petitioner who demands for himself what he refuses to another. St. Peter Chrysologus goes on, offer your soul to God. Offer the oblation of fasting. Do this to make your soul a pure victim, a holy sacrifice, a living victim, which remains yours while it is given to God. The man who fails to offer this gift to God will have no excuse, for he who will give himself is unable to suffer want. But to make those gifts acceptable, follow them up with mercy. Fasting does not germinate unless watered by mercy. When mercy dries up, fasting suffers drought. For mercy is to fasting what rain is to the earth. The man who is fasting may prepare his heart, cleanse his flesh, weed out his vices, and sow virtues. Nevertheless, if he does not sprinkle his plants with streams of mercy, he does not gather his harvest. O you who fast, what you pour out in mercy comes back as storage in your barn. And Lord, help us to live these three inseparable ways of living, Lent, but always our prayer life, spending time with you, talking with you, listening to you, being open to your word. You will ask many things of us. Let us not turn a deaf ear when you are asking us to do something that we might find difficult. Holiness is loving you by doing your will. Yes, when it's difficult too. Let us always, every day, have little mortifications, acts of self-denial, and now in Lent, more of them, more demanding ones, things that cost us. The more it costs, the more valuable it is. And our penances purify us of the temporal punishment owing for our sins, lessen our time in purgatory. At the same time as they strengthen our will, because we are doing something that we find difficult, the will grows stronger when we live those little acts of self-denial. Then we are more able to resist the temptations, as we considered before. And then watering all of this with charity, with that self-giving, with that love, with that generosity. And again, to give of ourselves, perhaps until it hurts, as Mother Teresa would say. Then we have that unity of our prayer, our fasting, and our alms giving. And Pope Francis, in his homily for Ash Wednesday in 2019, spoke about those three in a very evocative way. He said, "Almsgiving, prayer, and fasting bring us back to the three realities that do not fade away. Prayer reunites us to God, charity to our neighbor, fasting to ourselves. God, my neighbor, my life. These are the realities that do not fade away and in which we must invest. Lent, therefore, invites us to focus first of all on the Almighty in prayer, which frees us from that horizontal and mundane life where we find time for self but forget God." And Lord, this might describe us very, very appropriately. We forget you. We are so caught up in the affairs of the world. Well then now, in Lent, let us find those times for prayer, be it our morning prayers, our night prayers, with perhaps the examination of conscience, the Angelus at midday, mental prayer, reading the scriptures, attending Mass more often. Many different forms of prayer, but let us focus first on you. The first commandment, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with thy whole heart and soul and mind and strength. This brings us back to reality, to you. And then the Pope goes on. It then invites us to focus on others with the charity that frees us from the vanity of acquiring and of thinking that things are only good if they are good for me. And again, by original sin, we tend to focus too much on ourselves. First ourselves, then the others. And we need to get out of that mindset. Think first of the others, not what would I like others to do for me, but what would those others, especially in my family, my spouse, my children, my brothers and sisters, my parents, what would they like from me to turn around our mindset, to focus on them? And this is that charity. And then thirdly, Lent invites us to look inside our heart with fasting, which frees us from attachment to things and from the worldliness that numbs the heart. Prayer, charity, fasting, three investments for a treasure that endures. So first, focusing, Lord, on you. You are our first love in prayer. Secondly, focusing more on the others and more kind deeds, putting ourselves out for them, and I say especially in our family. And then thirdly, we look into our heart, into ourselves, with our fasting, to deny ourselves those creature comforts. How much time do we spend looking at our mobile phone, eating too much, drinking too much, wasting time? To fast from those creature comforts, and then we become more ourselves, more that son or daughter of God that you want us to be, and with a more fruitful life. Lord, help us to live Lent well. And a good way to look on it is those three aspects of prayer, fasting, and almsgiving are like a three-course meal. We pick up the menu for Lent, and we choose something from each course. And we ask ourselves, how is my prayer life now? In which ways could I improve? And choose something very specific that we can strive to do in Lent. And at the end of Lent, we will have improved our prayer life in that aspect, or those aspects that we choose to struggle in. We look at our life of self-denial. How much do I deny myself now? And not just in Lent, on a daily basis. What could I do to deny myself more, not to be so attached to the world? And Lord, when we do something that costs us, we grow in strength of will, we grow in grace. We will love you more. We will be able to love our neighbor more. And if we are tempted to be soft on ourselves, we should look at you suffering on the cross. We are preparing for our redemption and Easter, but that passes through the cross. How much you suffered for me, for each one of us. You showed us how much you love us in doing that. No greater love does a man have than that he lay down his life for his friends. And you did that for all of us. When we are too soft, we can look at you. We will never suffer as much as you did on the cross. That suffering cost you your life. Help us to be generous in doing those little things, those little acts of self-denial that can purify us, strengthen our will, and unite us more with you. And then looking at our life of charity, of self-giving, how much am I aware of the needs of those around me? How ready am I to serve them, to put myself out, especially when I might be tired or stressed? If we live Lent well, we grow spiritually, and we have truly a springtime in our spiritual life. We are more alive. We are blossoming. We are getting out of that possible state of lukewarmness, to be on fire with love for you and love for our neighbor. Help us to live Lent well. And we ask Our Lady and Mary how much you suffered with Jesus beside the cross. Unspeakable suffering, watching your son in all that agony on the cross, and then finally seeing him die, breathe his last. Help us not to be afraid of the cross, to live Lent well through those three aspects of our prayer life, our fasting and our almsgiving, so that we can have that true springtime in our spiritual life when we come to the resurrection of Easter. I thank you, my God, for the good resolutions, affections, and inspirations that you have communicated to me in this time of prayer. I ask your assistance in putting them into effect. My Immaculate Mother, Saint Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me.